Hello, everyone. This is Mixed Coffee, and have been mixing. No, we have not been mixing for a while, but we are back.
Mixed Coffee. That's another way to put it. I like that.
Mix. Coffee in the house, everybody.
I think if you looked up like what a DJ is in the dictionary, they would have a picture of being like the opposite of this, a picture of us.
I mean, if we show up in a dictionary, that would be cool.
That would be pretty awesome.
So today we are going to talk about the metaverse. Ooh. And virtual reality. Ooh. And I realized when we were making this that all of us have pretty different takes on the metaverse. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to hear what everyone has to say.
Okay, pause it now and then try to guess which one has which vision. So
which vision?
Like who likes it, who doesn't like it, and who's like, meh.
Oh, so we're giving them a quiz right before we do our quiz.
Exciting.
Okay, but they won't know until the end of the podcast.
Or until we start talking about it. The quiz?
Yeah, we have a lovely trivia quiz, and I'm going to share my questions after I share the quiz because they're on the same page. Trivia question one. When did the word metaverse come into being? Was it through a novel in 1992? Was it through a film in 1994? Or was it through use by a company executive in 1996?
I'm going to go with a book.
I feel like it's earlier than that, but I want to say the company executive. For some reason, it sounds like someone would have said it in some kind of commercial statement. I don't know. It's a wing. It's a guess.
These are great guesses, but Allie's was correct. It is through a 1992 novel. The novel is by Neal Stephenson, and it's called Snow Crash.
Oh, Snow Crash. Weird. I've never heard of it.
Ready Player One is more well known, and it's a bit older book.
Is that also metaverse?
From my readings, I'm pretty sure it's metaverse. I'm pretty sure. Maybe I'm wrong.
I've never had a concrete definition other than it's meta, but meta has different meanings too.
Meta can mean a lot of things depending on what other word is attached to.
Metanome.
Metaphorical.
Metaphorical. Nice.
Metaphysical.
Is "forical" its own thing?
I don't know.
No, I don't think it's its own thing. I think it's just a prefix from Latin, I think.
This has turned into a linguistics episode. Please enjoy.
I mean, I do have a linguistics diploma, but not in English. Wow. So I'm excused.
Oh, that's really awesome, though.
Oh, meta, it is an adjective referring to itself or to the conventions of its genre. Self-referential. But it's not the meaning that we're going for. Our meaning is a prefix. It's over the actual meaning. That's what it's, something over something. I'm not good with explaining, but hope you get it.
If you'd like, we can skip down to the definition part and come back to the trivia. Because I also thought, like, I don't really know what the metaverse is.
Well, we can talk about it.
What is that thing called, like, the original meaning of words? I just can't think of the word. Etymology. Thank you.
Ah. Sorry, my brain's not been on recently.
Hey, it's because you don't have your mixed coffee with you.
That's true. It's been a while since I've had mixed coffee.
I had some last night.
Oh, it's from Greek. It's not from Latin.
No.
Actually, that makes sense. I feel like I've heard that word used in something from Greek.
So metaphor is from meta in phero. Meta means with, across, or after. So it's something beyond. And phero means to bear or to carry, which in art, in metaphorical, it's a meaning.
So meta is beyond.
Yeah.
And I suppose it has to do with the internet because that is the method we're using to go beyond what we currently know.
Yes, but I guess it doesn't have to refer to the internet or something digital.
It might be interesting to brainstorm at some point what other ways we can live in that beyond reality that aren't digital. Do you think there are any?
I think if we were simply using the prefix meta, there's so many. Like, for example, there's a thing called metalinguistics. It's like you have linguistics and you have the meaning that you put into words. That's the meaning that for like daily usage of the word. But then metalinguistics talk about the symbolism and the meaning that you add to the existing meaning of it, like the basic meaning of it. And that's metalinguistics.
Was a word ever used in this way before this, before the digital world?
Yeah, meta was used for a long time. It's from Greek.
Like the way we're using it for metaverse, which is different.
I think maybe for a lot of people, meta is just something new because metaverse is a, such a common word. But meta is such a common prefix in like academia, for example.
I know metatext is something that our professor taught us in class once. Metatextual thinking or research.
It's like the comments that you add to the text. It's not part of the original text. It's like a metatext to the text.
Like in the margins.
Yeah. It's like you have text and then you have metatext. And metatext, what it does, it relates itself to the original text. So it like talks about it in a way. So metaverse would be the same thing. It talks about the verse. What would verse mean in this case? Oh, it's a coined word. Because only meta is taken from Greek, like the prefix that is used in other contexts as well. But I think a verse is just a coin. And it sounds cool. I guess that's why he used it in the novel.
It is pretty cool. Okay, so trivia question number two. The first virtual singer debuted in 1992, 1994, or 1996?
I'm going to go with 1994, just because it's in the middle.
I'm going to go with six.
Six. All right. Allie's again correct. It's 1996.
Do you get to know who is it?
Yes. So according to Pitchfork.com, so it's just a website I found, the Japanese talent agency HoriPro debuted Kiyoka Date in 1996 with the song Love Communications. I watched part of it. It's nice for its time. I watched it. I also don't know if I pronounced all the Japanese correct, so I apologize to anyone who knows better than me.
I don't know much about virtual singers. I did know that in Japan it's pretty ancient.
Ancient.
Yeah, it is ancient now, but I knew about what's that one called? Hatsune Miku. She was very popular when I was in high school.
I had no idea who she was until I was like doing a presentation about this kind of thing in class once, and then I found her and I'm like, what? Who is this? But I haven't seriously watched her stuff, but I know that she has a large fan base.
Yeah, she was very popular. I'm not sure now because I don't keep up with it, but she was very popular when I was in high school, 2010s-ish.
Yeah, she's got nice hair. It's long and blue and just very long.
Was it blue? Okay, yeah, that was blue.
Blue-green?
No, green was another one, I think.
Oh no, the fans will get angry with me.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they're fine. Also, I found out what verse is. It's taken from Universe.
Are you saying you weren't listening to my question that seriously? You were doing your own thing?
No, I was doing both.
Okay, I accept it. Shall we move on to question three? The top three metaverse platforms in South Korea, according to Statista, are 1. Zepeto, Roblox, Animal Crossing, New Horizons, in that order. The second order is Zepeto, Minecraft, and Roblox. The third order is Zepeto, Animal Crossing, and Minecraft.
Well, Zepeto is first, we know that one.
I thought that would be too easy for you guys to guess, which was the biggest one, so.
Was there one where Roblox was second?
Roblox was second, yes. Or sorry, Roblox was third in the second.
Can you say those again?
I can. So the first answer is Zepeto, Roblox, Animal Crossing. The second answer is Zepeto, Minecraft, Roblox. And the third answer is Zepeto, Animal Crossing, Minecraft.
I go with third.
Third?
I go with the first one.
First. I win. You guys didn't pick the right answer.
Oh,
it's
actually, wow.
It's a pedo Minecraft Roblox. No Animal Crossing. I think Animal Crossing was number four.
Oh, I thought it would be more popular just because I heard a lot of about it, but
I haven't seen it that much in Korea. Not as much as Roblox.
I knew very little about Roblox before looking into the metaverse, but it looks like, I don't know, it's like a place where people can go online and create games. Is that right?
I think it's very similar to Minecraft. I have never played either of them, but I know Roblox, I don't not sure about now, but a few years ago it was very popular in my country for kids to play, like middle school, high school. I'm not sure about high school, but middle school, I'm pretty sure.
I think it has a lower demographic. Younger demographic.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Minecraft is pretty intense. Like, a lot of adults play it too.
So to break it down, in the April 2022 data, saw that half of Metaverse users have tried Zepeto, and 46% have tried Minecraft, so those are pretty close, and 30% have tried Roblox.
Okay.
To break it down a bit.
Okay.
All right.
Do you know about that undercover uncensored library in Minecraft? So it's like a library that contains uncensored information, and it can escape thus governmental the governmental eye. So they can they have free press and everything, so the information just gets passed along kind of underground.
Yeah, and those, it seems the metaverse, it's not nations that really make the rules, but the companies. And that's kind of true in real life as well. Like, we have these international companies that sort of work in their own way, and not they have different rules or they break rules from other, like from the nations they work within, but they have like this overarching other place that they work within that sort of like supersedes nation. And so I think it's the same thing for the metaverse. It's like, yeah. And even I know there are some metaverse platforms that will automatically, if we're still talking about superseding nation or culture, they will translate your dialogue for you. And so you can talk to somebody. They'll probably just get more sophisticated, but you can talk to somebody as if you're talking to somebody from your home country or who speaks in your language fluently. So I think that'll be really interesting to see how that plays out in the future. What do you think, Judy?
I honestly don't know enough about, I guess I kind of know what metaverse is, but I've never actually engaged in it. Unless you count, I guess, video games, which I did in the past. But I don't know if that's the same level of metaverse that people are engaging in now. Oh, like out of all the examples you gave, Animal Crossing was like the closest I came. And I never actually played it fully because I couldn't get into it as much as, like, I played The Sims. That wasn't really a metaverse though, because you could play and you're entirely on your own without engaging with other people.
Right.
Not until the latest Sims.
What was the latest Sims?
I think they have like a communication feature. I think so. I haven't played since 10 years ago.
They have mobile versions now, so people can, so they're a lot more interactive with other online players. I'm not a fan of talking to people in a game. Like, when I play a game, I've always interpreted game time as me time. And, like, I don't want to have to perform for other humans. Like, I don't want to have to talk to them and try to act a certain way. Not that I'm, like, a really mean person in reality and I just have to be nice to all these people. But, like, when I play a game, it's me time. I don't want to play with anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the same thing with me in Sims. I didn't really play it to play with other people. I played it to, my goal was to build my own house, make my own family, build my own story. I was one of those kids who was very fine playing games on my own.
Yeah, but like nowadays, I see it as like another world is just transcending ours. It's just on the internet. And people can have like different, like they have these avatars, right? It's just a part of themselves that they put there out there. And it's just like a mini world that they interact with people, is literally living their life in a different verse. I mean, it is good, but it's because of that concept that I have of it that I don't really, let's say, I agree with it as much.
What parts do you not agree with?
The parts that prevent people from living their actual lives. Like the dependent, the codependence that they feel with the metaverse that prevents them from living their actual life. I mean, I know it can be therapeutic for some people who have trauma, but...
So, do you think that life in the physical world is more authentic than life online?
I wouldn't say so because I haven't been on the metaverse to know how authentic it is, but I believe so.
What's authentic physically, I guess it depends on how we're defining authentic. But I guess virtually is also, you can be authentic, but there's more possibility or more room for you to be inauthentic if you like.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but then it's the same with life. Like as Leslie mentioned, in real life you also have to perform, to use your own words, and you can perform. You actually perform on metaverse because no one knows the real you, and that's for most people that's just a comfort because people don't know the real them. Like they don't even have their own face out there, so this is just a comfort zone for them to be, let's say, more authentic. But is it really authentic if you're not revealing yourself?
An important question. But what is the self? Is the self the physical you? Because I wonder sometimes.
That's a meta question.
The meta question. I wonder sometimes. I remember thinking that when I'm in person, I don't always feel like me because I can get really anxious in social settings, especially with new people or a room of like a crowded room. Like, you know, I'm an introvert. So if I'm with friends like you guys, I do feel more like myself because we've grown comfortable with one another. But sometimes I'm like, I feel really anxious. My body movements feel really strange because I'm like all of a sudden very aware of my hands and my feet. And like, it just feels weird. And sometimes like I can't wear what I want to wear that feels like me because of what's available to buy around me. So like there are little things where I feel like, I don't know if I really feel like me. But when you're online, not that I'm a huge metaverse person. I actually don't. I use Zepeto, but just like I think I have not been on it for more than 4 hours total. But I think it can give you or has the potential to give you so many options that you might be able to show a character or like show yourself in a way that feels authentic.
I'm not sure if what I'm saying is going to disprove everything that I just said, but I'm just gonna say it anyway. But
we are allowed to contradict ourselves. It is,
I know, right? We're just having a debate here. We're not fighting each other anyway. So you know how in psychology we're fighting each other over a screen.
It's a meta fight.
It's a meta fight. I'm not sure that's correct, but
yeah, anyway.
It's funny. It is funny. You know how in psychology it's always said, they always say that you have two selves, the one that you show to yourself and the one that you show to others. And the self that you show to others is not always the same because you act differently according to the person that you're with. And that is also dependent on your boundary, et cetera, et cetera. So you could say that one part of yourself, which is the total of everything, physical and not, so one part of yourself is showing up online. But the problem here, in my opinion, is that when you equate yourself with the self that you're portraying on the internet, on this metaverse. Silence.
it means it's like, oh, good comments. Let me
just try and take it in.
Okay. I just sometimes feel awkward when I say things a lot because I'm not assertive. So when I do assert myself and people are like silent, I'm like, I question myself. Was that weird or?
Oh, you Enneagram 9.
Yeah.
Keep the peace.
Such a 9.
So you Wing 1.
I am a Wing 1, yes.
She already said a 9.
We just talked about this before we went on.
We'll have to talk about Enneagram in a future episode because, like, we have to.
We have to invite our friend Michelle for that one because she is the guru of Enneagram and Myers-Briggs. I
forgot she loves she knows Enneagram. All the things.
Yeah, I discovered so many people passionate about it. Like, we can have multiple episodes on it.
I think she would try to guess people's all the time. She'd be like, you're blah, 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 blah. You're INP. I don't know. What is it? I'm not good at this.
Well, I just took the test today again, and I am, right now at this point in time, I am an INFP.
Yeah, you can be whoever you want,
True.
I guess.
True.
I actually have no idea what the difference between INFP is and anything else. I know I and E the best. Everything else, I'm like, eh.
I know F is like more feeling and you're more in tune with your emotions or more like kind of more into like emotional things, but that's the extent. I'm not very versed in MBTI.
I met someone who was obsessed with it.
Oh, there's so many people obsessed with it.
Well, maybe we can talk about that in the next episode, but I will bring us back to the metaverse, if that's okay.
Yes.
The metaverse.
The meta. We had a meta discussion, but now we're going back to the base.
Yes, we did. Oh my god.
Wow. Everything's meta, guys. Everything is meta.
Everything is meta.
Everything is meta.
Meta.
Everything is cool when you're part of a team.
Okay. So our next question, before we began, I actually sent you guys two videos that feature virtual humans. Were you able to watch them?
Yeah.
Yeah? I don't know. It's, yes or no questions aren't usually hard to answer.
Yeah.
No.
Wait, why do I not remember a video?
No.
Did you send it in the group chat?
Yeah, I sent it in the group chat. And I said, if you guys have time, please watch these. Did you not?
I clicked on one of them, and then I honestly forgot.
Oh, this was a long time before we had our schedule change.
Yeah. Because I was going to watch it then, and then...
All right, so we didn't do our homework, but that's okay because I should have been more assertive. There were these two videos that I will explain to you. One showed a debut song and a music video from a girl group called Maeve and then hyphen. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that. It's like M-A-V-E hyphen. That's their name.
Hi, future Leslie here editing the podcast. That is not their name. Their name is M-A-V-E colon, but I got confused in the moment. Please forgive me. Everyone makes mistakes.
Have you heard of them?
No.
So the band debuted on January 25th this year. So it's pretty recent. And they already have garnered 7.5 million views, probably a little bit more since I took that number down. So what do you think? It's like the entire girl band is virtual. So I mean, like they've been on Music Bank, which is one of the shows in Korea where K-pop idols come to promote. And... like, what do you think about it? Like, they have their own music video, and what do you think?
That is so interesting. Is it like the Vocaloids in Japan, though? Because they have, like, concerts and everything. Isn't it, like, similar to that?
I think so. I mean, they're very new, so they don't have concerts yet. But let me look up a picture of them. They look like more like they're trying to get really close to reality rather than something like Miku, which looks more cartoonish.
I mean, Miku is pretty old.
Yeah, so they had to kind of go that direction.
But is this the kind of virtual where it's like the Japanese ones, they're like, they have an avatar, but you don't see their actual face? Or is it?
Okay.
So it just looks like a girl group.
Oh, I might have seen them in a taxi. Oh my god.
What? You know, in a taxi, but like
in a taxi.
Kwango.
Yeah. You know how some taxis have those screens for the back seat, and you can like they have like commercials on. And I think I like they look familiar, so I think I saw them like that.
I thought you meant you like saw them physically sitting in a taxi.
Like, okay, these are virtual humans, Allie.
I did not realize. Like, I did not pay attention.
Wait, but they are, but are there human versions of them, or is it just like?
It's just them.
It's purely. Metaverse.
What about like the voices? Who does the voices?
Like they sound really good. Actually, their debut song is a bop. Like I've been listening to it a lot, and I'm like, who?
Okay, now I'm intrigued.
Like, who are these people?
No,
it's really good. Look it up. But I think I just saw them on this K-pop fan site, which is called K-Profiles. So I wonder if they've given them a backstory. They have an official website. And
Twitter. And are there humans behind it?
I don't know. But one of them is an INFP, just like our dear Allie.
Oh my god, they have MBTI?
They have MBTIs? Here are some facts. She crash-landed in Jeju Island, South Korea. I guess that's her origin story. She remembers a light purple sunset sky and a sea.
Oh my god, that's totally me. I love Jeju and I love purple sunset, like sunsets in general.
Did you also fall onto Jeju Island to crash-land?
I might, you know.
This doesn't say, but they all have their own voices. They have ages. They have zodiac signs. They have nationalities. I think they're all Korean.
Okay, so yeah, the voices are like all computer made, or is someone singing?
That is something I do not know the answer to.
Okay. Someone decided all those facts.
Yeah. And the crash on Jeju. I think my bias is Shio, just because we're so similar.
You already have a bias? You haven't even seen their video.
I don't have to. I'm Shio and Shio is me. So similar.
So, what are you guys thinking?
It's interesting. I mean, I would understand the band because it's happened before and it's interesting. Mm. And there's a lot of art emerging out of AI and just computer made. But it's just interesting. I'm not going to say weird because it's not really weird, but it's really interesting to hear that they have like MBTI, age, like backstories, and crushing on Jeju. Well, that's a lot of creativity there. That's impressive. And just come up with a whole personality. But I mean, it would be similar to like when you write a novel and you like create a whole person.
Mm.
So it's not that difficult. I mean, it is difficult, but it's not that different. It's just, it's a virtual singer.
Right.
I do wonder what their purpose was. If their purpose was to create like a celebrity or to create the music, the actual like art coming from a non-human AI, I don't know what you call it, computerized being.
Okay, so I'm reading up on Shio, which is the INFP, and her empathy ability is at 99%. That's pretty computer-like to me.
Interesting. You think computers have empathy?
Apparently she does.
More than humans, apparently.
I mean, they can learn to reply in an empathetic way, but I'm not sure if they're empathetic. I haven't done my research on that. But they can be trained to be perceived as empathetic.
I think it's because it's by Netmarble, and Netmarble is like a video game company. And so it could be they were created for lots of reasons, because there are a lot of virtual singers these days. And I like made a list as well, like all the ones I can think of. I think the most popular one, or the most well-known one, is aespa, which are real girls, but they have their alter egos, which are AI. So it's something that people do a lot. Maybe they're trying to show off their technology through it and just trying to do what humans do, which is push the boundaries of what's possible, to put it poetically.
It's just strange that those boundaries are the things that humans do. Like, does this count as the whole, like, robots taking over people's jobs thing?
Some people will certainly see it that way.
I mean, there are, you know, like, jobs that... I guess they're all jobs that give people a living, but some people, I guess, would put a different category for the entertainment industry. I don't know if it means just because they exist, other artists aren't necessarily given a shot. It seems like now with the virtual world, there's so much more room for, like, content, so much demand for content. It's like you gotta fill it with something.
I think especially in Korea, because Korea's, the way I see it, I don't have statistics to back this up, but Korea seems like it's becoming more well known for content specifically, and they're making more content because that's becoming, or that is, a really large export of theirs. It's not the biggest. They still have like lots of other exports that are physical, but like content's really big and people go to Korea to make content. And I think that'll only grow in the future.
Yeah. And it's just consumed so much, referring back to our previous episode. And people just want more and more. They just see things on, and like, I personally watch a lot of dramas as well. Like, I just watch them on end, like, sometimes. And I need a lot of dramas to do that. And they need to be pretty recent, right?
I'm just surprised they keep pushing out all this new stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I know. You think that, I remember I had a friend ask me once, he was a very thoughtful person. He is a very thoughtful person. He's like, do you think we'll ever get to a point where we've made all the music? Like, there are no more different chord changes and things to make. And I think, like, well, we'll recycle a lot of things. But I think people, like, you just tweak a few things and people are excited. Or, I mean, are there any new sounds? It's like, I don't know. It's interesting kind of to think about. Like, I don't think music will end. I don't think we'll find all the different ways, because we'll always want to listen, even if there are no more new things to make.
I had that question before in my head. But I don't think we'll exhaust all the music and all the creativity. I mean, God keeps making people, and we're all very different.
I think we're supposed to create too. I think that's a longing that we have for a reason. We're supposed to be co-creators with one another. We're supposed to create, but it can also be too much. Anything can be too much. Is this too much? Is it the virtual singers, the entertainers? Would that be in the category of something that's too much and should be relegated to kind of just like a few only?
Oh, I'm not sure.
It is definitely testing people's reactions, especially to the celebrity world. I think you have a point that, you know, we may have to recycle things musically, but I think that's why nowadays what really matters is also the personality, like who the artist is. A lot of people, you know, it is about the music, yes, but now a lot of times, also because celebrities and artists are so, their presence is so big on social media and metaverse, I guess, now and other places, like people, like, you know, when they like or enjoy an artist, they don't necessarily just enjoy their artist. I think this applies especially in the K-pop industry. It's like they're called idols. They admire these people and these figures, what they represent, how they dress, what they look like, their hair, all these different elements. It's not necessarily just about the music.
And I guess that's why they made all these extra features to these singers, not just the singer and the image, like their personality, empathy level, MBTI, and all that.
They don't have Enneagram on there, though.
Oh.
So.
We should give them
They're still lacking.
They're lacking.
We should send them a tweet and be like, hey, like, this is great and all. However, you're missing something vital.
I don't have Twitter, but you can do it.
So the other video, if you want to talk about that briefly, was created by Vive Studios, and it was an experience between a mother and a virtual version of her daughter. And so her daughter had passed away 3 years prior to the video when she was 7 years old. So during the interaction, the virtual daughter invites the mother to this heaven-like area and tells her not to worry. Like, what do you think about that sort of virtual interaction?
I mean, was there any reason behind doing that?
I think, again, like, messing around with technology, seeing what's possible, but
they... But this is pretty sensitive.
Yeah, they promoted it as sort of a closure sort of thing.
Okay.
For the mother and the family, I suppose. But the mother had, like, these goggles on. She was in this virtual world. Yeah.
But it can be very confusing. I wouldn't know, because I honestly, thank God, have not lost a member of my family, but I would assume that if you're still grieving and if you're not done grieving, then it would be very hard for you to see even if it's virtual and you don't know, but a virtual reality, like, you see them as being next to you and all that, and it probably would not do them very good.
I just wonder, Like, was it something that the mother wanted? Or did someone suggest it to her? Like, I wonder whose idea was it? And if it's going to be something that's provided, you know, not just for her, but as a continued service, like an industry.
There was a drama about that.
I've heard a lot of fictional things about things like this, but not in reality.
There was a drama about that specifically where they had like this virtual reality and people could meet their deceased family members.
Would you do it? If someone said, hey, your brother passed away. I don't know if any of you have a brother. No. But like someone passed away in your family and they're like, would you like to go meet a virtual version of this person? Would you say yes?
If I'm still grieving, and grieving takes, depending to from person to person, to a few months to a few years. So if I'm still grieving, no, because it would probably not do. But, you know, people, when they're grieving, they're sometimes desperate. So even though they say yes, it's not a very conscious, like, rational yes. But if I'm done grieving and I just miss my supposed brother, then I will probably agree just to, you know, interact with my brother.
I think I would be interested because I would want to see what the technology is like. But I think I would stop myself because I don't think I would want to have any memories of my loved one mixed with this virtual version of them. That's not, it's not really them.
Mm-hmm.
Like if someone online, that's more authentic to me than like making up someone, even if they mirror the personality, because it's like, well, that's not, their soul is gone. Like you can't recreate that, but you can like put yourself online and speak through an avatar. I think that is still an authentic experience to some point, but yeah, I would be like, I'm curious, but no, could it be someone who's like, I don't know, like some stranger that I can interact with? That'd be cool.
Oh, this is
deep talk.
No, I like this.
That's what we like.
Yeah, we do.
I like this because this is related to something that I'm writing, and I don't want to reveal too much. But this is definitely a concept I'm exploring. Of, you know, I think one day eventually we'll have some sort of technology, you know, that makes this kind of thing available. And I had to think a lot about the mechanism behind how it would work. And I assume to make this virtual person of someone who is deceased, you would need some form of their data from when they were alive in order to form their personality, how they would speak and act. And I guess if she was a child, there wouldn't have been very much of that. I just wonder, like, if it's a form of themselves when they were still alive, I wonder if he'd be really the same person after they passed away.
The more data you feed the system, the more accurate it will be.
If it would just be a kind of like a restoration of that previous person or the past of that person. I don't know.
I'm not sure if there are such programs right now. I would assume there are.
There's probably some, but they're not available to many people. Okay. Like, it would be this sort of experience where a company says, like, hey, we can do this for you. Would you like to be, like, the family we use? I think that's what happened in this case. But I don't think it's, like, anyone can go out and do it unless they spend a lot of money.
Money gets you anything.
Including death.
Oh.
Yeah.
Could get you killed.
Assisted death. Was it not called like that? Assisted death?
Oh.
I don't know. But the richer you are, the more likely you are to get kidnapped for ransom.
Yeah, that's what I'll tell people. And they're like, Leslie, like, why aren't you, like, getting a full-time job making money yet? Like, well, I don't want to get kidnapped. No. I'm just kidding. I'm protecting myself.
It is funny.
All right, so let's see. I have a couple more things to say. The metaverse creates an online environment where physical experiences are recreated to some extent. And popular metaverse platforms include what we've already talked about, such as Animal Crossing. There's also a online world called Second Life and Zepeto. So a documentary that I watched interviews different individuals who are involved in the metaverse. And I think it was done by the university, or is done with the help of University of California, Irvine. But they involve the interview people in the metaverse who, quote, are actively engaging in community building in the digital realm as they are trying to make sense of a new age dominated by uncertainty and physical isolation, end quote. And so they were mostly talking about COVID. So what are your thoughts on the metaverse's potential for community building in place of the physical world?
Yeah, that is my point that I don't agree with.
Okay.
I just imagine, you know, did you guys ever watch WALL-E?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You remember that ending where, like, WALL-E finds the capsule where all the humans are? But they've gotten all, like, really fat from just sitting and being virtual for, like, forever. I just imagine, like, really lazy people. Like, you don't have to go out to meet people. You don't have to do anything, really. I mean, physically. Maybe there's more work involved mentally. But I don't know. In COVID, I spent a lot of days just being at home on my own. And even though, like, I could interact with people virtually, it was still, I don't know, I felt antsy.
But I think about the fact that we know what social life is, community is, and so on and so forth. And I'm trying to imagine, like, a world where that has been, like, physical interaction has not been happening for a long time. And then people start to get used to that and don't remember what is social life.
But it's a good alternative, I think, with the pandemic. There are some places that even tried out virtual classrooms, and such as in, like, the place called Second Life, which has a lot of potential for that sort of thing. So, like, their avatars would come and sit, and they would talk about things. And there's this idea that because, I guess, you're seeing a virtual space that could look like a classroom, it feels a bit more authentic than using Zoom. You feel more in the spirit of studying. But I also agree with you, Ally. I don't think it's better, and I don't think we should choose it in place of being in person. Mm-hmm. But I think it does have really good potential for being a good place for, like, virtual companies that actually don't have a physical location, as well as, like, classroom settings when it's not safe to be together physically.
Yeah. I'm not saying it doesn't have good usage, but I'm just saying, and I'm being very cynical, that people tend to go to extremes with everything.
Yeah. I can only see it kind of spiraling more. There are very strong online communities nowadays. It seems like people rely on them a lot.
Okay. So, stories such as Ready Player One. Do you guys know that story?
Yes. No? Well, I know the story. Well, I know the book. I just don't know the storyline that well.
The storyline's not that important, to be honest, but it's, like, half in a sort of apocalyptic physical world. And you see stories like this a lot where, like, the world is kind of, like, gone bad, and it's like, that's all, I'll live in the virtual world instead because it's so much better. And that's what happens in Ready Player One. So those sorts of stories often depict future worlds. So the individuals spend their time in this hyper realistic virtual reality. But these stories usually end with a message that real relationships and experiences take place offline. And we've already sort of touched on this. I know what Ally would say, but do you agree, and to what extent? Also, last question we'll put in with it is, do you think fully immersive virtual worlds will be possible in the future?
I think relationships can happen online. Fully immersive, I think, is possible, but I don't know if I'd want to live in it. I think there would always be limitations. Relationships, just because, like, you can technically relate with anything. It's just, doesn't have to be necessarily a person. You can have a relationship with something, even, and that thing may or may not give you something back. But how you relate to it, you know, that can, and in this case, we're talking about people behind these virtual platforms. So it's even more likely that you could have a relationship It just won't, I guess it'll have the limitations of not being a physical one. But in terms of like immersive, like fully virtual, like what are the boundaries? Like what kind of world are we talking?
I suppose in Ready Player One, you could not only put on a headset, but being like a fully, if I remember correctly, like a fully...
Yeah, like you get a separate body.
Yeah, you get a separate body, but it's not in the physical world like Avatar. It's like digital, but there's so much data in that world that you can sort of feel like you're really touching something and you feel like you're actually moving. Maybe it tricks your brain to thinking that that's what's going on. So, yeah.
Like, will there be a point where we only live in that world?
I don't know only. I can't imagine, though, that we can... People would spend their daytime hours or their hours of activity in that world and then leave to rest, if that makes sense. Like, just like we go to work or we go to school, but instead of actually physically going, you're sort of just doing it online. And then you take it off to rest or afterwards.
So your whole life will be online. You're offline just asleep?
I don't know about just asleep. What do you think? Do you think that would be the case?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I like the idea. Like, why would we be on this earth so we can be on a not different universe? Yeah. Like, why would this body be present here if we're just living in the online world? I cannot envision it myself to go that far.
It feels like everything is already online. Like if you wanted to, it might not be one particular world that you're in. Like I'm only in Animal Crossing and everything is there or something similar. But I mean, I spend most of my day online because I'm sharing myself on Twitter and then I'm sharing something else on Instagram and I'm also gaining content and interacting with people through the internet, but just a lot of these different platforms. And so it does feel like I'm already like living in this digital world, even if I don't have an avatar during all that time, except, you know, argumentatively, what is the word I'm looking for? Like you potentially your like profile picture could be your avatar. You could see it that way. Yeah, but and then when I'm done with my work for the day, that's when I like exercise or I talk to people in person. But I picture it the same way, like it's just more immersive later on. You're still online and doing things, but instead you have like a body or you feel like you do.
I mean, we have cell phones and I have my smartwatch, so I literally have a metaverse with me everywhere. It's not a game or a platform, but I have the internet with me all the time. But I don't see it that way. Like I see internet as being a add-on to my life, not a part of it per se. Like I do share myself online, but I do value authentic, like for me, authentic in face-to-face interaction. I think that would like be my priority. Not fully online. And that's why I actually value talking to people, even if we're seeing like how we're seeing each other now. And I actually see your faces. I can see your how you react to what I'm saying. I can see you nod your head or yawn or whatever you're doing. I'm not saying you're yawning right now, I'm just giving an example. Drinking your coffee, mixed coffee, and all that. Like I value that more over just going into a metaverse application or platform and interacting with a human. I'm not saying you're not interacting with a human, but I don't see it as the same. And long distance relationship, and it doesn't really have to be romantic. I have long distance relationship with a lot of my friends, and it's really hard. Yes, you too, including Leslie. And it's very hard to keep up with everyone. If we don't see each other, and it's just a reality. Even if we have internet so handy, it's still so hard to keep up with each other.
Well, what if, picture this, what if we had a virtual world and all of your friends you could visit immediately through your avatar. And if you wanted to, you could just invite all your friends to a virtual party and one of your friends lives in Malaysia, one of them lives in Japan, one of them lives in Syria. Pray for Syria, by the way. And they can all come together and you can all party together in this virtual world. And if it becomes more immersive, then it feels a bit more immersive. Like, would that, I don't know, how do you feel about that? Do you think it's possible?
I'm not saying it's not possible. I just wouldn't equate it to an actual, but it's a good alternative. So I'm realistic and I can say that I can get together all the friends that I have because they're just so, singled out. I have some friends at home. I have some friends from school. I have some friends from childhood. I have some friends in Korea. I have some friends that went back to the US. I have friends in other places, and it will be physically hard to have them in the same place, even though maybe I want to see all my friends, like all the friends that I have, literally. And that would make it a great like space for it. But I don't know, for me, I just value human interaction.
Right. Because if it is that available, that alternative could become everyday. Like, people would have the option to use it not just with their long distance friends, but with people who are close by for work all kinds of reasons.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, during COVID, we saw everybody having like dinner parties on Zoom and everything, so.
I'm not afraid. I don't know if I'm afraid of it. Okay, maybe I'm a little afraid of it. But I also think, like, I do think it'd be cool to try it out, to see what it feels like. But I don't think I would want it to be my daily life.
Yeah.
No, and I am afraid, because, like, I used to get really addicted to video games. Mm. And I do think one reason I don't really touch them anymore is because I'm afraid of the addiction. I do think once I actually enter into it, if I do enter into it, I might get stuck in it.
The control over what's going on that video games can give you, such as The Sims, like I control everyone's life, mm-hmm. that was really addictive to me. And also it's like imagination. Like, I get to picture this different world and these different stories. And live in something. For me, sometimes playing video games was like watching a really good movie or reading a fiction book, like you're entering a different world. But I think that if you're thinking of it in that way, it's like, oh, this is like an alternative place, then that should be kept in check. And also the idea of like, I need to control everything. Like, there is something really nice about the physical world where I can't always control how my body reacts when I'm around people and I do act more awkward, and it's kind of humbling, and I think it's good, actually. So I'm changing my thoughts a little bit. Like, maybe actually, like, the physical world, it's good to try to work with that and with what we have, like our bodies and our reactions and where we can physically go. It's good to have that limitation. Any closing thoughts?
Being human is nice. With all the emotions, good and bad. I mean, we categorize them as good and bad.
Mm.
But they're not.
But I like the happy and the sad. I'm thankful for both.
Yeah, it's just all part of being human. And I mean, it's not that if you were in a better verse, you won't be sad or disappointed or frustrated. But I think it will strike differently.
But you can't close it right away. It's like, oh, I'm so mad, I'm frustrated with this person I'm talking to on the metaverse, and then you slam your laptop shut. So like, you can't exit quickly, whereas in the physical world, you cannot always exit quickly. Any thoughts, Judy?
I do have more ideas for my book now.
Everyone look forward to Judy's book. We don't know when it'll come out.
Watch out.
Keep an eye out.
Someday, one day, it'll be there. And some of this stuff will be in it.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to let you guys get to sleep and let me wash my face and get ready for the day.
Well.
But I loved seeing you guys. Thank you for the great discussion.
Same.
Judy, would you like to end us with a greeting?
It's good talking to you guys. It's been a while. We'll see you again next time.
See you.
Bye-bye.